Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, I have two special guests in the studio with me. Representing the Roger Williams Park Zoo Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular. We're going to find all about the spectacular and how that works and a few things about the zoo itself. With me is Dr. Jeremy Goodman. He is the executive director of the zoo. Welcome, Jeremy. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nice to see you. And with you is John Reckner. He is the founder of the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Mike.
Nice to see you and have you with us. It's an interesting event that takes place. I must say, right off the top, it's probably one of the biggest events in southern New England as far as people going there and have been going for years. How many years has this been going on?
Well, it originally began in Oxford, Massachusetts, 28 years ago, Mike.
Mm-hmm. 28 years ago, and moved down to the park about when?
We went to Roger Williams Park in 2001.
So a good run there. And as far as Jeremy, the zoo and or the park, it's all one unit, right? Is that correct, or is it not one unit, zoo and the park?
The zoo is part of Roger Williams Park. It's an integral piece. It's 40 acres out of the 400-acre park, but we work very, very closely together with the Parks Department.
So now the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular comes to the zoo itself and helps raise money for that and keep care of the animals and things that are necessary all year long. Is that correct?
That's right. The Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular is one of our signature events, and it is our largest fundraiser for the zoo. So we draw over 140,000 people for the event over the course of the month, and it really helps us with offsetting all the high costs of the quality animal care that we give, mm-hmm. as well as our conservation education programs. So it's incredibly important. You're not only coming out to an incredible cultural event with wonderful music and intricately designed pumpkins, but you're supporting such a good cause.
Well, I know that when I was there, all 140,000 were trying to get in the parking lot at the same time I was. But you've fixed that problem this year. We'll talk about that a little bit further on down in the show. And it's just such a great event. John, when did you become involved with this? Right from the beginning?
Well, the history of the show, actually, the original idea, took my family up to northern Vermont in the mid-'80s, and there was a mountainside display, hundreds of simple jack-o'-lanterns. And to make a long story short, I'm back home taking my dogs for a walk in the woods one evening, and a light bulb went off. And that being giant illuminated gourds with famous persons, places, and events, intricately carved pumpkins.
And is this something that you personally can do? Is this something that you tried to, had you done it at that point? Or is it just like, I think I'll try that?
Well, the following year, we had an event in my small town. We had like 500 pumpkins, and we had maybe a dozen intricates for the show. And then it just kept expanding every year and getting larger.
But are you the organizer or one of the artists?
Yeah, I was the creator and organizer, one of the artists, but we've since hired multiple number of people.
Okay, so this is something that you have that ability to take the gourd, as you say, whatever it is. And is it other things other than pumpkins?
We'll slip in a few watermelons maybe, but what I like about pumpkins, it's one of the very few means of illuminated artwork other than perhaps stained glass. So we've ventured out and doing Norman Rockwell illustrations. So we're up for the challenge to do anything.
All right. Well, Jeremy, when you were speaking, you mentioned that it's a great event with music going on, and that's always part of our show here on Conducting Conversations is the music. And, John, you prepared a few things to get us in the mood. This first piece you brought is called Catfish.
Yes, this is, well, our show will open, we'll pay tribute to humanitarian heroes of the 20th century, and that's Mother Teresa, Gandhi, and that'll lead us up to this particular piece, which will be the endangered species, and we'd like to focus on that, and so that's what this music here is, Mike.
All right, we'll listen to that, and then we'll come back and get a lot more information about the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular at the Roger Williams Park Zoo.
Thank you.
exciting now that we have a little music to get us in the mood. I want to go back to one of the things that was mentioned earlier. You called it a show, so and scenes, so forth. So this is something that is certainly an opportunity for people to come in and be entertained just as if they were going to a theater, right?
Exactly. I look at it as being an illuminated art show put to background music, and they both complement each other.
So it's an opportunity to not only have many of your senses touched, and you can get to see some of this wonderful artwork. Jeremy, we talked just briefly about helping support the zoo itself, and what a wonderful thing for people that aren't familiar necessarily, because a lot of people listen to this show not only around southern New England but all over the world. So let's just get a word about the zoo itself, just a touch of the history and what people might expect when they go to the zoo.
Well, Roger Williams Park Zoo is one of the oldest zoos in the country, dating back to 1872. So we've been around for a long time, and we're an integral part of Rhode Island history. The zoo has animals from all over the world, ranging from our huge elephants to our tiniest baby tree kangaroos. So it's a great place to visit for the family. During the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular event, the focus is really on the pumpkins and the music and the theater. You will still see occasionally some of our elephants. If the weather's permitting, the elephants might be out, the giraffes might be out. So you can certainly see some animals on your visit to the spectacular. But if you want to see the animals, best times to come out to the day. If you want to see the pumpkins, they're glowing at night.
Come at night, right. Now, when you mentioned you might see them, so the jack-o'-lanterns are placed all throughout the zoo? Is that how that works?
The jack-o'-lanterns are actually along our wetlands trail, so we have a beautiful pond in the middle of the zoo. It's an incredible scenic,
just an opportunity for people to see a beautiful sight, whether it's by moonlight or just a nice night. They can have things going on.
That's correct. And just the smells of fall and fresh pumpkins, and they're everywhere. They're up in the trees. There's giant pumpkins. There's the intricately carved ones and pumpkins that spell out words. It's just an incredible setting, just to go out and experience with your family. And it becomes a tradition. We have people that actually visit from all over the world. John and his crew, and it is a whole crew, just do such a wonderful job. This is like putting together a major Broadway show. You really need set designers and music coordinators and artists, it's spectacular. There's no other word for it.
So, John, we talked about the fact that this is kind of your brainchild. Had you ever thought that it might get to be this big with 150, 200,000 people coming through and seeing this, and probably millions over all these years?
I can say initially I always thought it had a lot of promise, but I didn't foresee the popularity. I think the first year in Providence we had 82,000 people for the three-week event, so... Yeah, it was.
It is pretty
exciting.
Spectacular. Now, the show has been running for a couple weeks. We're right in the middle of how long it's running. It's been open for a couple weeks, and it's got a couple more to go. It closes on what date?
November 6th.
November 6th, so Sunday, November 6th. And what time does it usually end in the evening? Is it 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock?
Show actually runs, last admission is at 11 o'clock, so...
11 o'clock at night?
It runs late, and on the weekends, just make sure we have something very new this year, where we have time ticketing, so all tickets are available online for Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. You have to buy them for a certain time slot, and that was off of feedback we got from our visitors.
That was to avoid that all those people coming, like when I did at the same time on Saturday night at 8 o'clock, right?
Exactly, but weekdays, we always encourage people to come out during the weekdays. The show is always changing since we're carving. John's crew is carving new pumpkins, and the pumpkins only last for approximately 5 to 7 days. Even if you came earlier in the show, come back again. Wow. It's almost a brand new show every weekend.
Well, that's something we got to talk about, but I want to get to another piece of music because I have a feeling we're going to have a lot to talk about, and we're not going to get in time-wise here. So let's sneak this next piece of music in. We'll take a break and come back and talk some more. This one is Time. name, John, right? What do you have for us on that one?
We're doing a pretty long skit of deceased rock stars, and that'll be a Pink Floyd setting, and we'll go through Janis Joplin and David Bowie, Prince, Jimi Hendrix,
Michael Jackson.
I think we have like 10 of them for that particular themes.
All right, we're just going to listen to a portion of that piece of music, then we'll take a short break and be back with more. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Dr. Jeremy Goodman, the executive director of the Roger Williams Park Zoo, and the founder of the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular, John Rechner. And we've been finding out a lot of things, and there's so many things to talk about. We had kind of planned to play some more music, but we're going to cut a lot of that music because I have questions. I'm inquiring minds want to know. And I guess the biggest thing is that we want to direct people to your website, Jeremy, so that if they hear something and they say, well, how do I do that? There are various prices to get into the spectacular. We've already talked that the money goes to the zoo and helps out in that way. But members get a different pricing structure, and weekend pricing is different. So they should go to the website, right?
Correct. All the information is on our website, rwpzoo.org. You can find information not only on ticketing, order your tickets, find out about parking, if there's any road closures, diversions. We try to let people know the best way to get there, the easiest way to get there. If you follow us on social media, we'll be tweeting out the easiest routes to get to the zoo, and if there's any closures, things along those lines. So it's all available off of our website.
Excellent. And I'll give everybody a hint. there's better pricing if you're a member of the zoo, right?
That's true. It always pays to buy a membership, and we also have our value nights during the week to try to drive attendance Monday through Thursday. So definitely can find some nice affordable options.
All right. Let's get back to John and some of the carvings that take place. We mentioned that there's a crew, and it's not just you alone carving hundreds of pumpkins. How many people are involved in this endeavor?
Well, we have roughly around 20 artists, some full-time, some part-time. And so they do most of the intricate artwork. And then we have a small army down at the park to do the 5,000 background pumpkins.
Okay. So. Small army, I yeah. guess so. And actually, Jeremy said something that maybe you can speak to. I didn't realize that they only last, you know, 5 or 6 days or 4 days or whatever. And I guess a lot of that's dependent on the weather is what's best.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike.
Temperature or cold or?
Yeah. We've had Octobers with 90 degrees where they've lasted only 3 or 4 days. And so our key is we have to have duplicates of every image prior to the show opening. Hmm. So for us, from the time we get the pumpkins in mid-September, it's a mad drawing session for that whole duration, even up to the end of the show. So it's they all have to be done a minimum of 4 times. So,
wow, 4 times. So if you had, you mentioned, you know, I'll take something silly like a Norman Rockwell, one of his drawings or something like that was carved. That has to be done 4 times during the life of the show.
So you're looking at 6-7 hours for something of that detail. And of course, I think that's what people appreciate. It's a brief form of temporary artwork, and people appreciate all the effort that
almost like an ice sculpture, if you will.
Exactly.
It's just not going to be there forever, or drawings on the sidewalks of New York. All right, what piece of music do we have next, and how does that tie in?
Okay, Mike, next we follow up with Johnny's Garden, and this will tie in the 15 different garden images that you'll see in the show here.
All right, we'll give that a listen now.
There's a place I can get to where I'm safe from the city blues, and it's green and it's quiet. Only trouble was I had to buy it, and I'll do anything I got to do. Cut my hair and shine my shoes and keep on singing the blues if I can stay here in Johnny's garden. As the swift bird flies over the grasses, dipping now and then to take his breakfast. Thus I come and go, and I travel, but I can watch that bird and unravel. And I'll do anything I got to do, cut my hair and shine my shoes and keep on singing the blues if I can stay here in Johnny's garden. With his love and his caring, he puts his life into beauty's sharing, and his children are his flowers, and they give me peace in quiet hours. And I'll do anything I got to do, cut my hair and shine my shoes, keep on singing the blues
music park and stay here in Johnny's garden.
John, we have so many subjects here and so many different kinds of pumpkins and so forth. We want to get to some of the main themes of what's going on. American Treasures is kind of the overall general theme of what's going on. And I understand that we have some tie-ins to that. How would you explain that?
Well, American Treasures is we're doing commemorative stamp art. And it's a
wide... Stamp art, as in postage stamps.
Yes.
Okay.
And we have from... The Peanuts Charlie Brown Gang, with hopefully we have a 2,000-pound pumpkin for that. And
Wait a minute, a 2,000-pound? You just kind of threw that off like, oh, yeah,
we last year we had a pumpkin that was 1 pound shy of 2,000 pounds.
So 2,000 pounds.
Yes.
Okay, now if I remember correctly, as a news guy, I believe a while ago the world's largest pumpkin was from Rhode Island. Is that correct? Am I making that up?
You seem to be
a pumpkin expert. Okay.
Our friend Ron Wallace grew the world's first 2,000-pound pumpkin, and he sells the seeds worldwide, and he had a gentleman in Switzerland who topped that, growing 2,300 pounds in a greenhouse.
Wow.
So Ron is attempting to get the world record back, and we'll see what happens, what unfolds here.
I don't know. A greenhouse doesn't sound fair, though.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
So Ron has the largest outdoor-grown pumpkin.
All right. Okay. And so those kind of things happen, and you mentioned postage stamps and various people and things that have been on postage stamps.
Yeah, thought was interesting if we close the show with the finale being the forever stamp images, and that's of course icons of Paul Newman, Ray Charles, Ted Williams, Washington crossing the Delaware, Iwo Jima, and we'll have a 1,000-pound Statue of Liberty, and of course we'll have the Elvis Presley forever stamp, and his music will be part of that end skit.
Okay.
That will be the American trilogy.
And we mentioned Peanuts, all right?
Yes.
So why don't we go to some Peanuts music right now, and then we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with the Roger Williams Park Zoo Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular People. Dr. Jeremy Goodman, the executive director of the zoo, is here, and John Reckner, the founder of the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular, is here. We've been finding out all the different things that you can see at the zoo, at Roger Williams Park Zoo, and it's been running for a couple weeks. We still have 2 full weeks to go, so get yourself down there and check out the website for times and things. We'll talk about that in the next segment, but I want to go to you, Jeremy, and find out a little bit about something called the Spooky Zoo.
It's a great event. Halloween is right around the corner, and you know, the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular is for everyone, but so is Spooky Zoo. And that happens on October 29th and 30th from 10 to 3, and that's during the daytime. It's our daytime Halloween event, and if kids come in costume, it's half price, and we have candy and trick-or-treating around, you know, lots of costumes, animal encounters, entertainment. So it's a great daytime event at the zoo, and all the animals are always out for that. So we certainly cover Halloween, the Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular with some of the skits as well, but we also have a great daytime option in our Spooky Zoo.
Okay, so Spooky Zoo. So if I wanted to go to the Spooky Zoo, there's an admission to get into the zoo for that. Can I stay, or do I have to get out? But I can, if I just stay there for the whole time?
Unfortunately not. We do have to clear out the whole zoo after our daytime regular hours, and then we get it all ready for the spectacular, since it is quite the production. So,
all right, great. So the spectacular's at the night, and the Spooky Zoo's during the day, and we can go there. Can I go in costume, or is there an age limit?
You can absolutely come in costume.
All right, because I want to be there.
Looking forward to seeing that.
All right, I'm going to show up in my, maybe I was inspired, because off air we were talking about one of our pieces of music coming up. Elvis Presley's coming up. Maybe I'll go as Elvis Presley. You know, that would be fun.
That would be fun.
And what do you go as?
Usually staff, because I'm working, but you know, we have dressed up for another number of costumes over the years, right. And the staff does love to dress up for especially around Halloween time, so we do like to have some fun with it.
One of the things we talked about during that last commercial break was something I got to get more information from you, John, the Laughing Tree. What's that about?
Well, of course, when you go there, you'll literally see pumpkins everywhere. We not only have hundreds of pumpkins on the water, but we have a tree that'll consist of around 500 pumpkins that...
500 pumpkins
in the tree.
In a real tree.
It's a real tree.
It's not something you constructed in your backyard.
No, and it's... thank goodness for boom lifts. That's how we managed to get the pumpkins up there. But it's quite a spectacle, and the laughing music, of course, and that is kind of one of our finales. It's near the close of the show, and it gets people
the laughing
all
tree.
Rejuvenated.
All right, now here's a question that a lot of people might just take for granted, so I'll ask the dumb questions. That's my job, to be, you know, ask the dumb questions. Are all of these jack-o'-lanterns lit with candles, or are they electrified?
I'm glad you asked that, because our first few years, we attempted to light all 5,000 pumpkins with candles. And on windy nights, we would be up all night trying to relight them. You'd have wax settling in the glass. And so we come to be practical, and... we now utilize LED bulbs simply because they don't heat up the pumpkin, and that's one of our key issues, is especially with the intricate pumpkins, to get them to last. If we use incandescent bulbs or fluorescents, that'll heat that pumpkin up to about 140 degrees, so the shelf life is very limited with that. So we use all LED bulbs now. They don't throw off a lot of heat, so that's one of our keys to increasing the shelf life of these pumpkins.
And a little behind the scenes thing now, these all have to be turned on individually, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So now you're talking how many hundreds or thousands of pumpkins to turn them all on?
It's mind-boggling. We have 5 miles of electrical lines to not only for the pumpkins but for the music. So it's
also they're hardwired.
Everything's hardwired.
It's not an LED little thing like you see on a restaurant table. Yeah. It's an actual. So, okay, that makes that makes more sense now because I can just see you climbing up that tree every night, you know, turning on each individual pumpkin. All right, we have a piece of music to go to, and this is going to be familiar to a lot of people in the title. The title is Titanic, but it's a little bit more, needs a little more description, right?
Well, Mike, of course, James Horner died in a plane crash, and I don't know if many people know who James Horner was
They do if they're listening to this station.
But,
the most prolific music theme writer.
Ah, great. And so we thought it was only fitting that we use the Titanic suite in our memorial, and so that's the piece we're using here.
All right.
Heart does go on.
Well, that was Celine Dion actually singing the Titanic theme. You may not hear her in the park, but she might show up. Who knows? She could decide to take a little vacation and be there. But I want to thank both John and Jeremy for coming in tonight. We've gotten a lot of information. We could talk for quite a while, but I want to make sure that everybody knows how to get information about the hours, and they go to the website, right, Jeremy?
That's right, rwpzoo.org, and everything's on there, hours, directions, online ticket sales. So definitely visit our website. And once again, during the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's from dark, which is about 5:30 till 11, and Monday through Thursday on the weekdays, our value days, the show last admissions at 10 o'clock.
All right. Thanks for being here, Jeremy. Nice to see you again.
Always a pleasure.
All right. And John, back to you. We've got one more piece of music, and we want to just kind of wrap it all together. This is the Elvis that I promised, American Trilogy. How does this work in?
Well, of course, we're ending American Treasures with some very patriotic pumpkins, Iwo Jima, Statue of Liberty, and this was a piece that Elvis did back in the 70s, and actually was a fundraiser for the battleship Arizona, paid that off. So it's a very inspiring piece of music, and it three Civil War songs, in which it closes with the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
All right, looking forward to it. John, thanks for being here. Great
thanks,
to meet
Mike.
You.
Thank you.
All right, here we go, and the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations.
Oh, I wish I was in a land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
Singing, fellas.
Oh, I wish I was in Dixie. Away, away, in Dixieland I'll take my stand, to it away, in Dixieland I'll take my stand, to live and die.
For Dixieland's where I was born. Early laws one frosty morn. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Holy glory, hallelujah. Holy glory, hallelujah. His truth. But all
soon be over.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.